Miss Candelaria's car. She's returned from Michigan, from Puerto Rico back to Michigan, where she was with one fellow, and then traveled to go see another fellow, and traveled to Imlay, Michigan, to be with another fellow. So that's from 6:12 to 6:15. Her car is found on all these flock cameras. Not once is she returning to Cuyahoga County. Now we turn our attention to June 16th at 7:36 a.m. She is back in Cuyahoga County. Her car reappears in front of her house. She goes in and she finds her daughter dead. She takes the time to redress her, and then she calls 911.
Welcome to Operation Evil. I'm your host, Nayoka.
I'm Rachel.
And this is just a quick little update about episode 97, Ohio Mom Leaves Toddler to Die. We've been getting a lot of reactions and responses on our Facebook page regarding this story, and we're seeing all your comments. And we appreciate all the shares and all the love that everyone has been giving baby Jalen. And we just wanted to come on here to say thank you for sharing Jalen's story and give you an update. If you don't know already, for those who are not aware, go back and listen to episode 97. The sentencing has been done, and Crystal Candelero, who left her 16-month-old daughter alone while she decided to go on vacation with her boyfriend in Puerto Rico, was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the death of her daughter. And I'm really glad that she got life, but we did want without parole. Yeah, there's no escaping that. And the thing is, like, just go back and listen to the story. It's so disturbing, so disgusting. I think that's why so many people have responded like they have to the story. I got three clips from the sentencing that we wanted to share with you. One of them is a detective talking about no one came forward for baby Jalen. Like, they tried contacting people and no one came forward. I don't know why. And it's so sad, but I wanted to play a clip of what she talks about. And then I want to play a clip on the doctor talking about her autopsy. And she speaks on the baby's behalf because, again, none of the family wanted to speak on baby Jalen. It's almost like they pretended she didn't exist. And
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on that? Like, why do you think that they didn't?
To protect the daughter, the mom or whatever of the baby. I don't know. I don't understand it. And it's sad because the doctor who did the autopsy in the police department were Jalen's voice, and they said that we are her family. So that's why I wanted to play what the detective spoke about and what the doctor spoke about and the findings of the autopsy. I thought that was pretty important. And then the last clip I wanted to play is the judge actually scolding her and giving her her sentence. It's pretty powerful, and I thought that would be important to share. I didn't get to watch the trial live. I was working that day, but I had it marked on my calendar and I kept an eye on it all day just to see what this woman was going to get. So I thought for those of you who didn't get the opportunity to watch it or hear any clips of it, this would be a good time to kind of brush up on some of the key points. But if you can't stomach it, I understand that too. And I'm just going to be playing them in a row. But do you have anything you want to say or add, Rachel?
Just be prepared. It's very emotional when listening to the medical examiner because, you know, it seems like that she is trying to make herself sound professional. And it, to me, it sounds like she's choking up. And I mean, who wouldn't, right? But yeah. I just felt for her so much.
Yeah, they really took this case to heart. And you can tell all of them, mm-hmm. the detectives, yeah. the doctors, the judge, how that baby didn't have support from her own family is just mind blowing to me. Because,
and again, all of our listeners,
I was going to say the people out here support this child so much. And I hope that there's a way as she knows how loved she was by strangers, at least. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's what we have for you. This is just a quick little bonus. Not even a full episode, just a little quick update for you. And we'll be back with a regular sized episode next Monday. And we'll be kicking off April with more, unfortunately, more child abuse stories. April is child abuse awareness. So we do want to continue that and give a voice to these kids that don't have one. So thank you guys for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Teresa Gomez, TERESA GOMEZ. Morning, Your Honor. Your Honor, thank you for allowing me to be a voice for Jaylene Candelario, a beautiful angel whose life was cut short for no good reason. This tragedy should have never happened. I am Sergeant Gomez from the Homicide Unit. The entire Homicide Unit, Cleveland Homicide Initiative, and our partners from the FBI are here today in honor of baby Jaylene Candelario. When we were first notified of this horrific case, we were all heartbroken. But when we started digging deeper into the investigation, it was beyond horrific. It was revealed that the defendant, Crystal Candelario, left her own child alone for hours, which led to days, which led to weeks. The 16-month-old baby was left alone in a pack of play to fend for herself for 11 days with no food, maybe milk, the clothing she had on, and the diaper she was wearing. This baby loved her mother. She needed her mother, and her mother betrayed her. Mothers usually want their children to have a long, happy life, but Candelario placed more importance on a vacation in Puerto Rico with her boyfriend than the health, safety, and well-being of her own daughter. She chose to satisfy her own needs and desires over that of her own child. Jaylene's life ended because of her selfishness and disregard for Jaylene's precious life. Candelario violated Jaylene yet again when she placed her little body in a clean outfit in order to orchestrate this facade that she was trying to portray for the investigators, either before or after she called 911. But Jaylene told us something different when we saw her eyes sunken and wide open. We later learned that sunken eyes is a result of severe dehydration. To the naked eye, it appeared she had dirt in her mouth and fingernails. It wasn't until the next day that detectives learned that the dirt, in fact, was feces. Detectives also began to gain clarity as to what really happened to Jaylene. Candelario's fabricated story, which she initially told detectives, began to unravel. There's no way things could have happened the way the defendant said they did, which left us with many unanswered questions. Detectives gained knowledge of the fact that Candelario left Jaylene by herself for more than 10 days. Many hours of video surveillance revealed all of the comings and goings of Candelario from June 5th through June 16th of 2023, when she discovered her daughter deceased. Investigators watched a total of 628 surveillance videos, which also included audio. On June 9th,
Audio surveillance captured the final time Jaylene has ever heard crying. Myself and the people sitting behind me, many who are mothers and fathers, are tormented by the thought of what Jaylene endured and what her last hours on earth were like. Any of us and thousands of others would have jumped at the opportunity to take care of this beautiful little girl. Jaylene died a long and agonizing death, afraid and alone, while her mother enjoyed the beach and sunshine. This is the case that myself, all the people behind me, and everyone around the world will have branded in our minds and in our hearts forever. Jaylene took her last breath, and our only hope is that Jaylene found herself in the arms of Jesus, feeling his warm embrace and love, something she did not receive from her mother.
Good morning.
Hi, Doctor. For the record, could you say your name and spell it for the phone call reporter?
Yes, my name is Dr. Elizabeth Mooney, and it's spelled M-O-O-N-E-Y. I am currently employed by Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner's Office as a forensic pathologist and deputy medical examiner. In this capacity, I was assigned the task of performing an autopsy on little girl Jaylene Candelario in order to determine her cause and manner of death. Unfortunately, this is one of the most tragic and unfortunate cases I've had in my career thus far. So today I speak on behalf of her and her findings with the course of my examination. We received Jaylene at the medical examiner's office from the scene of her residence, at which time she was clothed in non-soiled clothing, indicating her body had likely been dressed prior to first responders' arrival, as they had mentioned before. So at autopsy, I examined the body of a very emaciated female toddler. At this point, she weighed 13 pounds. Upon review of medical records, this indicated approximately a 7-pound weight loss since her previous doctor's visit less than 2 months prior to that. The eyes were sunken, and she had temporal wasting in her face. In addition to that, the skin showed markedly decreased turgor, meaning when I pinch the skin, it remains in that tented position, indicating severe dehydration. In addition, there was abundant fecal material present caked on the fingers, the fingernails, the hands, the feet, as well as the soles of the feet. The same material was found on her lips, which were very dry and flaking, as well as in her oral cavity, caked to her teeth. She did have some diaper rash apparent, as well as fecal material adherent to those areas. Of note, the body was essentially free of significant injury, with the exception of dried excoriations or scratches to the face region predominantly, and whether or not these were inflicted to herself in a conscious or semi-conscious state while she was dying, I'm unable to determine that. Very early decompositional changes were present. This included faint discoloration or green discoloration of the abdomen. These are typically changes that we see within 2 to 3 days following death. No additional changes to suggest that she passed away prior to this were found externally or internally. Upon internal examination, I continued to find evidence consistent with starvation and dehydration. These included pale discoloration of the musculature, which was minimal. There was a decrease in intra-abdominal fat to the point of transparency as her body tried to feed upon itself for nutrients. Her stomach contents consisted of less than 2 milliliters of brown mucoid material. This is about equivalent to the distal part of my thumb, a very small amount. The rest of her bowel just contained patchy fecal material, but very minimal throughout. Her organs, including her liver, kidneys, and thymic gland, showed evidence of stress, specifically microscopically on exam. I found no additional evidence of significant natural disease going on or congenital abnormalities. Following my exam, I submitted body fluids for additional toxicology and chemistry testing, which further confirmed my gross findings that she had passed in a state of severe dehydration. Her kidneys had failed, and she was in a state of ketoacidosis, which leads to coma and eventually death. As such, I determined the cause of death to be just that, starvation and severe dehydration due to pediatric neglect. To come to the exact wording of the cause of death was based on my findings, but also the medical definitions, which I'd like to reiterate here. Dehydration, and specifically starvation, is a lengthy and continuous deprivation of food as to cause suffering or death. Pediatric neglect is the failure of a caregiver to meet adequately a child's basic needs, including physical safety, protection, food, clothing, shelter, education, medical or dental care, and supervision. In other words, neglect for Jaylen's basic needs from a caregiver resulted in her death. As such, I ruled this manner to be homicide. Most homicide deaths involve acts of violence inflicted from one person onto another, but this case involves a failure to act appropriately to support another who is dependent on them, falling into a homicidal manner. In the absence of more advanced decompositional changes, I believe that the pain and suffering she endured lasted not only hours, not days, but possibly even a week. This is a pain that comes from an extreme thirst and hunger. It also stems from an inherent terror of isolation or the lack of someone present to provide that. My knowledge on the depth of this suffering may not be as extensive as a medical or a mental health professional, but as a physician with psychiatric and pediatric training, I feel comfortable stating that the deprivation of food coupled with physical isolation and caregiver abandonment would be terrifying. We know that babies and children cry when they're hungry because it's unsettling and it's uncomfortable. That's almost immediately after birth. We also know that children as early as age 4 to 5 months experience separation anxiety, with the most extreme anxiety around 9 to 18 months. Jaylen was 16 months old. This feeling of abandonment for days on end, coupled with the pain of starvation and extreme thirst, is a type of suffering I don't think any of us could ever fully fathom. So as a forensic pathologist, it is said that we are the voice of the dead and given the responsibility to speak for those who can't. So this morning, I'm honored to maintain that mission. Thank you.
You committed the ultimate act of betrayal, leaving your baby terrified, alone, unprotected, to suffer what I heard was the most gruesome death imaginable, with no food, no water, no protection, and lying in her own feces. You decided you needed a vacation. You left your baby, Jaylen, trapped in a pack and play without food and water for 10 days. I'm going to sentence you to life in prison without the possibility of parole.